So just look at this piece, a little part of this piece from the Sifsei Chaim. You know the topics, which parsha is the parsha of the Mishkan. The topics vary, but one of the themes which comes up again and again is this idea that the Osoli Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Sechom, really it's B'Sech Kolecha Ba'Echod, that you're really creating this Mishkan inside of the person's oneself. Okay. And the Mishkan is going to be the primary source of bringing the Shekhinah into Klal Yisrael. So it's details upon details upon details. So we have to understand that once that's true by the Mishkan, that's going to be true by any scenario when we're trying to build a person's binyan ruchni. The phrase whatever doesn't belong, is not a Torah concept. Yeah, work out whatever you just do something. You know, mitzvahs are precise. Agro kesek yatar aricha appeared to Zion pamim mesinyan and mishkan bekelub. Kneged shiva rikiyim shechazu beyorda shkina lishras betachtonim. So, Chazal say that there are seven rikiyim, and originally the Breshim was here in this world, and then each generation, as it was chayte, it said the Breshim removed himself to hire another Rikia further away. And then the process, starting with Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and then Levi and then etc., pulled the Kohos and Abraham and Moshe, brought the Shekhinah back down. We'll translate that phrase in a second. Pishamasha Kuzari is Adam Mishkan Mikhailam. Kuzari sees that the Mishkan, as it were, parallels a human being. Ha'aron is the lab, the reyes or the lungs. He goes through all of the steps of the comparison. Zalimamir Mishkan Kafisha Tara Ditika Bakal Prata Bamaiso. Kalam Sarklias Nizar Bakal Ivor Lakatamayate Tara Mitzvahs. So just like the Mishkan was missing any one point, it's not going to bring the Shekhinah down. So a person comes along and says, you know what, I'll do okay with the lav, but you know, the other parts of my body I'm not going to do so good with. You know, like I once saw this cartoon, I forgot what it was about. There's four types of Jews. Like there's the stomach Jew, right? You know, he eats Jewish food or something like that. You know, there's the heart Jew, you know, I'm a Jew in my heart, you know, right? There's the hand Jew, he gives a lot of the Jewish causes. I forgot how it went, you know, exactly, you know. So that doesn't work. You need to be a heart Jew and a stomach Jew and a hand Jew and a head Jew. You know, you need all the pieces. So I can't say, you know, I'm just going to like write off one part of my area of avoida. So I'm not going to be careful with my eyes, right? You know, I'm doing everything else, but it doesn't work. It's not going to bring. It's going to be pagan in the whole process. I just had a conversation. I can't pull it out. Who it was with? Maybe we discussed it here. So the question always comes up. There's a piece from Shem. I heard a tape from Shem Pinkus one time. That he was talking about Shabbos. He's talking about Mishkan, Shabbos and Mishkan. There are a lot of parallels between the two of them. And he said that somebody, he was speaking somewhere, and somebody came up to him after the speech. You know, he did a lot of Kira speeches, etc. He says, Rabbi, I read in the, you know, about the story of the Mekoshesh, that this person gathered some sticks on Shabbos and they stoned him. Like, Rabbi, what do you do? Just gather some sticks. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it so bad? Right? It's a good question to ask a rabbi. Right? And the way Rabbi Shimon Pinkus set up with the story, he said it over, like, you know, with intensity. Like, the fellow like this. Rabbi, that's what do you do? Like, what's wrong? Like, he's ridiculous. You know, that type of man. So, his point was that when you're dealing with surgery on the hand, you know, person's off by a millimeter, 2 millimeters, it's not great. It's not the end of the world. Doing surgery on the brain, you're off by a millimeter, you can maim the person for life. He says, because the brain and the heart are the primary elements of the human being, and over there, precision is required. If you understand that Shabbos and Mishkan are the brain and the heart of Klal Yisrael, you understand that precision is required. Right? The reason why you look at it is you don't understand that this is the heart of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah is going to give us details upon details. You know, it tells me it has to be, you know, this amount of amas, and if it's not that amount of amas, you know, it's off. Right? Nowadays we have the mashalim, which we understand when you shoot your rocket to the moon, right, you're off by a millimeter, just the millimeter, right? That's true, but as it progresses through its trip, that becomes significant. So the idea of precision is much more obvious to us nowadays than it was, maybe once upon a time. So the idea of the precision, which is necessary. So I had this conversation with somebody. I don't remember the exact details of it. But the point was, again, this idea of that, you Jews have so many details. So I tell you the joke about the Jew. There's a Jew had a non-Jew Jewish neighbor, and one day, the kids used to play back and forth with them, with each other. And one day, the little girl is playing next door, and she comes running home, all upset. And shortly afterwards, he gets a phone call from his non-Jewish neighbor and says, your daughter insulted my religion. That's obviously why the girl ran home. He says, what did she say? She says, it was the end of the year, and your daughter asked me, so she wanted to know how tall the tree has to be, how far you have to put it from the window, how many lights you have to put on, how far apart they have to be spaced. He says, yes, that's a ridiculous thing. It's just like she's making a joke over about my tree. Okay. So I don't know if the story is apocryphal or true, but the point is very well taken. From our attitude, there's a lot of how far you have to put it, how tall it has to be, how far they have to be apart. These are that's part of mitzvahs. But there was just do it, whatever. It's whatever is not part of our living happiness. So here we are, the Torah talks about it, gives it precisely, not once, not twice, but it goes through again and again and again. This is exactly how it was done. And then they did it exactly like this. They did it exactly like this. So the point I was getting at is, so somebody challenged, he said, let's go back a step. We all agree that life is very important. And we all agree that the person should, do something proper with his life is very important. Right? So we have two choices. We could come along and say, listen, I want to be a good person. I'm going to try and do the best that I can. But I don't know exactly what that is. So, hit or miss, you try, and you hope for the best. But imagine that the one who created the world came and told you, this is what you got to do to make it worthwhile. Say, wouldn't you want to do that? And wouldn't you feel like such a relief? I know exactly what to do. I was told exactly what to do. So I just do it. So I'm much more relaxed about my life than you are, because I know I'm using it in the right way. You're going to look back and say, did I really get it right? I have no doubt whether I got it right or not. I know exactly what to do. So the Torah is such a chesed that the Torah is precise. Because imagine the Torah said, just try, whatever. It makes it sound easier. But when you look back and you say that my goal isn't easy, my goal is I want to feel that I did something of value. I don't know. Did I? Just hit or miss. How can you be happy with that? So the Torah B'davka is extremely precise, because it's a chesed. I had this hargasha. This person said this in regards to life in general. I had this hargasha when I was sitting shiva from my father. Olav Shalom. So this is goes back to 1986, which I never learned Hilchos Avodah Zarah before, and you know, so your novel, prison novel, so you can't really learn anything else but Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and you can't even learn Be'in, you know, but you know, so between the acting out the days of my Avodah, so I went through all the Hilchos Avodah Zarah. I just read through all of the Siman of Shulchan Aruch. You just read the Shulchan without doing any nice Kalims. It's not so hard to read. And I was struck by the amount of detail which is there. And it hit me like, it's such a chesed. You know, what when the human being is coming to grappling with, how do you deal with addressing death? The human mind has no way to address death. Like, how, what's the proper thing to do when somebody dies? I have no idea. Like, so I'll just sort of like try and intuit it. What does that mean? How do you intuit how to deal with death? Right? You intuit a lot of life. We can intuit like what's the right way to deal with it. Like, you know, well, I'll do things to help, you know, his soul. What helps his soul? I don't know. Well, you got to go to heaven and come back to answer that question. Right? I didn't go to heaven and come back. So how am I supposed to figure it out? So Rosh Hashanah does a chesed and he tells you, Hilchos Avodah Zarah is so detailed. There's menhagim, everything. Well, there's also different menhagim. That's also an issue. But saying, but everything. There's an minhag on this, a minhag on this, a minhag on this. Like everything is like so detailed. It's such a chesed. Rosh says, "Listen, my kids, I understand you're not going to figure this out yourself. Don't worry, I'll tell you everything you got to do." It's such a chesed. So take that thought process and say, okay, so we understand that if life is about the process of death is about how do you interface with a soul which you can't see anymore, into the world that you don't know anything about, and you're trying to connect and help the process, obviously you need help. Are we that much smarter to figure out how we know how to deal with life which we're here, which contains a soul and contains a connection to Olam Haba? Of course not. So of course we need details. Okay. So he flips it around. You know, it's not just there was a Mishkan. It says it's got it all wrong. This really was all just a mashal and a message for a person. Excuse me. So in Shar Aleph, the Nefesh HaChaim talks about this Marichas. The Kakosav. Now the problem is with Bechein Tasu L'Doris. So the Peshut Rashi means anytime you'd ever have to make another keli or another part of the Mikdash, you'd have to use the same the same measurements, details, etc. But he says, according to what we're saying, don't make a mistake and think that the real goal was the physical mikdash. The whole purpose was this is what you should do. You should take the lessons of the mikdash and apply them to yourself. You should be able to express yourself in such a way that you are as acceptable as Rotsui to Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Mishkan Mekalev. Kulam Kadoshim, Riyam and Mechonim, which you look at the Mikdash and you understand that the Mikdash has to be in this beautifully proper way. And now, be able to share it amongst you. He says, if you continue to go my way, I will be sure in Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe Nevesh Chaim points out that he didn't tell me sure in the Mikdash, he said, I'll be sure in Klal Yisrael. He writes, the Mikdash, Shu, Kreel, Achnias, Livovam, Shimon, Dumeno, Eich, Lasak, and Masayim. So that's the point which he builds up the rest of the piece. This idea that we so there's a fascinating thought, and I'm just going to share that thought with you. Revolba addresses in one place, he addresses the issue of different shitas in Musar. You know, you have the Nevardiker shita, which is like, you know, that, you know, human beings are so low lives and they have chasrenas and they're problematic, and, you know, you're a gornish, you're a nobody, who do you think you are, you know. Right? You have the Shlobotka Mahalach, which is the greatness of man, the majesty of man, you know, like, they don't sound very compatible, right? He says it's a mistake. There's no such thing as shita as a Musar. Everybody agrees, everybody. Right. It says, now, I'm going to take my own words. Okay, so our friend over here, he goes in the Vardik. Right. And so the Vardik says, listen, you know, you're a taka nobody. He says, I'm taka nobody. Right. He says, okay, you know, you need to, like, stress it to yourself that you're a nobody. Right. He says, you know, so, like, go make a fool out of yourself. He makes a fool out of himself. People say, hey, he's taka nobody. Like, this guy's a fool. Right. After a few weeks, what does the guy do? He commits suicide. I'm attacking nobody, so who cares? Like, might as well get it over with already. Imagine a person understands how great man is and the tremendous ability and potential that he has. He says, okay, now I have a problem. That person is inclined towards becoming a Baal Gaiva. So I have to understand that, you know, that's true, but you also have elements which are inappropriate, and you're not so much better than the next person next to you. But don't lose sight of that, that you're valuable. So I need both sides, right? The message of the Mishkan is a fascinating combination. If the message of the Mishkan is that this is me, right? If I would take the ruchni of me and put it out in a physical form, this is what it would look like. I mean, like, wow, like, you know, I have an Aron, I have Kruvim, I have a shulchan, I have a menorah. That's me. That's another way to draw a picture of me. So that it's a tremendous message of the godless that I have. Right? At the same time, right, the Russian says, "I'm going to come and dwell amongst you." Part of the void of the mikdash was very much the idea of the person taking the korban and picturing as this: he's being burnt and he's negating himself. Both elements have to be true, but sometimes the stress has to be one, the stress has to be the other. But the yisod of Mishkan is to stop and think of how valuable man is. So he says, you know, a piece over here. He brings some. He says this greatness of the nefesh adam only applies to Klal Yisrael. Does not apply to Mosheil. They don't have this whole surah which the Mishkan is representing. Right? That applies to Klal Yisrael. So he says the following: if a Jew takes a improper thought into his heart, that's equivalent of taking a zoyna into Kodesh Kadosh. Now, we would never picture ourselves doing that. He says, but a person taking the improper thought into your heart is the exact same thing. So as a matter of fact, I'll tell you it's even worse. He says, when Titus, the Morris says, took a zoyna into Kodesh Kodashim and did an improper act with her on a separate Torah in the Kodesh Kodashim, he says, that was less of a destruction in all of the world, in all of the creation, than when a Jew has an improper thought in his heart. That's what the Rosh Chaim says. Because we're the Mikdash. That's just a physical representation. The real thing is us. The Iker is us. So that's just a mashal. So what he did in the mashal cannot be as real and as dangerous and as damaging as what we do in real life. So that happy note, I think we'll hold it here.